Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Appreciate you joining in. Kind of winding down the year for events. Not a ton going on, but at the same time, folks are getting out as much as ever before. It's a good time of year. The footing's good. Temperatures are decent if you're dressed properly. I keep reminding folks that layer with thin layers of wicking type material. Stay away from cotton. Cotton is the death of you out there for any kind of movement. You sweat. The sweat clings to you. I went out the door the other day. It was 26 degrees, and it's 5:30, quarter six, and I step out the door, and immediately I have this notion I better go back in and put more layers on, but you have to resist that temptation. And once I got moving, I was actually overdressed, and I had on a short sleeve wicker, a long sleeve wicker, and my wind parka, because it was a little bit windy out. Although, as it turned out, the wind wasn't that bad. And I bet 12 minutes into I'm zipping that wind parka down. I'm ready, Bill. And it's all technical clothing. It's
right.
Moving the moisture away. But overheating can be just as bad, if not worse, actually, for you than being too cold.
Huh.
So be careful of overdressing. Remember that 15-degree swing. If it's 27, I'm going to perceive 42 degrees within a few miles. And that's pretty decent running weather. If it's windy and if there's moisture, that you just throw all that stuff out. That's a huge handicap on the situation. Stay visible. I keep telling people this. I don't understand why folks are running without any kind of light or reflective gear. People can't see you. And I don't understand how can you see if you don't have a light in the morning or evening. The flashlight notifies people coming at you that you're coming towards them, a car, a bicycle, whatever. But also, just as important, you can see where you're going. I'm baffled with it. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, that old cliche thing. Here I am, 56. I'm thinking, you know, I want to be aware of my footing all the way. I want people to be able to see me ahead of time. I relax more when I know folks can see me. But the overdressing is actually a bigger issue than the underdressing. And, people have been complaining a lot about their fingers lately. Get a mitten. Oh, no, mittens are for weenies. I heard someone say that the other day. That's a girl. That's a girly thing, some guy said to me. I said, what? Are we still talking like that?
Right.
We talk like that? I mean, it's a girly thing? What are you? I mean, are you made of mush? Is that how weak you are, your self-confidence? It's a girly thing? Put the doggone mittens on. I don't even know where that's coming from, but I do know there's a bit of a notion out there about mittens. I don't know where it got started, but I have some days, and I'll be completely out of the closet about this, I have gloves on underneath my mittens. I'm so cold.
Right.
And when it's 8 degrees, I don't want those fingers getting cold. And they always say once you've been exposed to cold at a bad level, you're screwed for life, basically. I think that's what happened to me up in Michigan. I spent 5 years up there. A couple of times got almost frostbitey. And I'm more sensitive. My fingers get cold. I'm holding this morning it was 39 degrees. I'm out there holding a stopwatch with gloves on, and my fingers are getting cold. So be careful with it. Use your noodle.
I wear them. And then if I get
do you wear mittens?
I wear them, and if I get, I'll take them off and I'll put them in my pocket.
Real men. It was the old thing when I was in college. Real men eat quiche, and you know, real men now wear mittens.
That's right. I'm promoting it.
Okay. Over the weekend we had the All Center Virginia Awards ceremony. It was fantastic. I thought, immodest year or modest about whatever that. I was the host, Cynthia and I were, but we just thought we had a great evening. The kids came all dressed up. We had almost every kid show up.
Great.
All 35 of them, the boys and girls that made the All-Central Virginia squad. The coaches presented a little testimonial to each of their athletes. As we call the athletes out, we went boy, girl, all the way through the group until we got down to Adam Visicke, the number one All-Central Virginia runner of the year, and Nikki Doma, the first time ever that Fluvanis had a boy or girl finish as the All-Central Virginia runner of the year. Big moment for Fluvanna, and it was a nice evening. Lot of nice kids. I mean, my gosh, we're so blessed. They had such wonderful leaders and characters and team-oriented folks. Just, you know, I looked across the room thinking, wow. And I say it almost every year that, you know, we're blessed. And we're blessed to have such good coaches, the Lindy Baines and the Buzz Males and the Dan Wiggins and the Winston Browns and Ben Hales and the Doug Bloors. And you go on and on and on. All of the teams got really great. Rose Brogan, you know, what a great year at Fluvanna. And, you know, obviously leaving folks out here. Margaret Marshall at Covenant, Chris Post at Miller. I could go on and on. We just have some fantastic folks. Amy Pritchard at Charlottesville. Kate Pugh at Western, Kathy Kaufman at Albemarle. I'm thinking, oh, I better not leave anyone off. But every time I come in the name, I'm thinking, yeah, we're lucky. Good folks, athletes, best interest in mind. This week, over the weekend, Case Luzar, L-U-Z-A-R, a name maybe not familiar to you, Mike, but he was a starting fullback for UVA under Welsh and Groh. He split 2 years with Welsh, 2 years with Groh. So he's in that transition period. One of UVA's standout players during that time, big guy, definitely looks like a football player, but he's managed to take decent care of himself. And like you, Mike, he started taking up running a few years ago. Instead of it being a punishment like it was with football to run laps, he's kind of getting it and understanding it. So he comes into the Trains Track Club training program. This is his third summer with me. He ran a 3:32 last time out at Philadelphia. It's 8:04 pace, 8:05 pace. Says he wants to run 3:25 this time. I think, okay, that's pretty fast for a big guy. And let's go for it. So he runs a Rehoboth Marathon in Delaware over the weekend. He's the last, as far as I know, last local, other than Glenn Anderson, who counts but doesn't count because he's on his whole different lunar plane out there doing his marathon a week or marathon every 2 weeks. We all know about Glenn, and God bless him. But Case is pretty much last man standing for 2011 locally as far as, you know, checking the box.
Sure.
He runs 3:20. 7:40 a mile. Fantastic. And a good guy to boot. Stereotyping about football players. They're nice guys like anybody else. But you tend to see these big bodies out there and, you know, crunching up against other bodies. And they got, you know, these guys have an edge to them. He's just as sweet as can be.
No, I know what you mean.
Married with a child on the way. And so congrats to him. And more to come. I'm sure I told him. I said, Case, at 30 years old, you got several good more years, several years ahead of you of PR in. God
Get
willing.
Boston,
keep
maybe.
You injury free. Yeah. I mean, it's impressive. The UVA track coach search continues. We're hearing good things. I'm hearing it's obviously all rumor and it's scuttle. But the names that are surfacing they're down to three candidates from what we're hearing on the street. They're good names and good folks, so we're excited. And the new UVA track, just about ready to be opened. It's just about finished curing. It's beautiful. Mike, if you haven't had a chance, anybody else listening, have a chance to get over there and look at it. And the great news is we got confirmed the other day pretty much that we're going to be allowed to use it. This is what we've been all... Mm-hmm. You know, anxiously waiting because here's a $7 million facility. Wouldn't blame UVA for saying, sorry, you know, we're closing the gates. Last athletic facility open to the public. We're now shutting it, but we're going to hear it's business as usual.
Very
It'll
cool.
be during certain hours, set hours. Obviously, when there's practice and sobriety, other times it's closed. And come on, folks, deal with it. Every once in a while, someone will complain to me that they're a taxpayer or they're on the faculty at UVA. I'm like, and your point is? You know, do you go and swim in the UVA pool during practice in the lanes where there?
JPJ.
Yeah, Mike, let's go over and have a little pickup game. Let's get some guys together and let's go over to JPJ and just tell Tony. Right. We'll be on the other side of the court.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've talked about this before. And so kudos to Craig Littlepage and all the folks over at the central office there that, you know, the university athletic office is to support this. 10-mile training program continues. It's every Saturday at 8. It sounds like a broken record, but if you're out there, you know someone who needs a kickstart, know someone who's kind of out of shape and wants a group to run with 8 o'clock every week, and that probably, hopefully, be moving over to UVA at some point. We'll keep you posted. New Year's Day 5K, continue to remind folks, this is a not-for-profit event. 100% of the proceeds go back to a good cause. It was the Boys and Girls Club last year. Please come out and support this New Year's Day event for the track club. It's 11 o'clock out in Free Union. I just wanted a couple of cool things that came across my life here, came through reading or folks passing them along to me. A health scare of the week, Mike, how chairs cause cancer. It's a mouthful. Here I am sitting as I'm saying this. What the heck does that mean? Chairs cause cancer? Is it the plastic in it? What is this? That was the title. Sitting still for long stretches of time at work, in the car, or at home, those three C's, car, couch, computer, increases, now listen, this increases your cancer risk even if you exercise regularly, WebMD.com reports. New research shows that as many as 49,000 cases of breast cancer and 43,000 cases of colon cancer could be prevented in the U.S. each year if people simply stood up more often. So here's the gig on this. It's not the sitting. It's the sitting for long periods of time without getting up.
Right.
It seems highly likely that the longer you sit, the higher your risk, says so-and-so, a researcher at this, you know, this research institution. But even breaks as short as 1 minute can lower it. The research supports a previous 14-year study that found that 6 hours of sitting a day increased a woman's odds of dying in that period by 37% and a man's by 18%, compared with people who sat for half that time. Adults today are immobile for more than 9 hours a day on average. Even if you hit the gym, Mike, so if you're exercising, American Institute of Cancer Research now says it's crucial that you get up and move at least once an hour by pacing during phone calls, visiting the water cooler, or going to talk to a colleague in person instead of sending an email. That's standing up while you're on the phone. That's a big one. So even if you're kneeling when you're at the desk, you know, typing, it's probably better for you than sitting. So, but get moving. So important. And then on the other side here, this ties into this because weight is the number one factor behind health issues 50 and over in our country today. It's controllable. I mean, it's not a God-given thing that you're overweight. Some people have more of an issue with it than others, obviously, but genetically. But still, you can control this.
Overcome stuff, yeah.
This was startling. The average American male now reports weighing 196 pounds, up from... It's not the 196 pounds that's so startling. It's that it's up from 180 pounds in 1990. Not 50 or 80 years ago. 21 years ago, it was 180 pounds. Now we're at 196.
Wow.
And I'm part of that. I'm not 196, but my weight has definitely come up over the last 20, 25 years. I'm part of that movement. I'm getting a little older. I'm getting a little more sedentary. I have to really work on keeping my weight down to keep it I'm definitely not 196 pounds. The average female says she weighs 160, another startling statistic, up from 142. Yet just 39% say they're overweight, while 56% report that their weight is about right. So that's interesting. Folks perceive that they're fine, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Now, we're in a skewed community. Charlottesville's fit. Mm-hmm. I bet we do not follow the national demographics in regard to weight and exercise and sitting and all these things. But
sure.
I will say that we are, as a community, every bit as guilty of this sitting issue as anywhere else. Most of the people I coach, most of the active people, fit people that I'm around, they're sitting a fair amount during the day.
Jobs and stuff.
Even my RMR kids, they're gamers at night. I know they do a lot of that, Call of Duty or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
John Madden and the fantasy football and whatever. So anyway, so I'm starting to sound like I'm preaching, but I have to work at it myself just as much. And then this was cool. One of my athletes passed this along to me. He goes, Mark, you're always talking about pickle juice. He goes, this is the coolest thing. He got this. He's a research guy over at UVA, and he dabbles with the computer quite a bit. And some guy has marketed pickle juice sport, and it's a drink. And you drink the pickle juice, and this is great for cramping. This is not the type of thing you drink throughout the day necessarily, but if you're high athletics, you're in particularly football or some sport where you're maybe golf, where you're out walking a lot in the heat, and you need to retain that sodium. This is important. So, it goes on and talks about how important pickle juice is, a natural source of sodium as well as other electrolytes. Sodium is a component of sweat. The rationale is that sodium from pickle juice helps replace sodium losses from sweat and even helps retain water in the body. Pickle juice sports is the answer to this. They feel strongly that this is a very efficient way to replace the electrolyte.
Huh.
I don't believe it doesn't taste that
I wonder
great.
If they
maybe
add
they've
like
got they've got something in
seltzer
it.
Seltzer water or something to give a little pop.
yeah, something. So anyway.
That's funny.
So that's about it. It's kind of, like I said, a quiet time. For me personally, I'm winding down as far as events to direct or be helping with. It's kind of a nice little break. So we'll be talking more in the coming weeks, but like I said, It's kind of a quieter time. Get out and enjoy your running. I tell a lot of my athletes that if they've been training intensely, I told this to Case yesterday, take your watch off. Take your watch off. And he doesn't have to physically take his watch off, but the spiritual end of that is that stop worrying about your time. Get into recovery here. Low mileage. Go slow. Take it easy. And take the pressure of training off of
right.
You're about starting to ramp that up. You're at the other end, Mike.
Yeah.
And Mike's going to do a marathon, it looks like, this spring.
That's right.
We've set something up and to work into his very, very busy and active schedule with the sports casting and helping behind the scenes and helping on the mic. That we've set up a marathon of sorts for Mike to do sometime in April, hopefully.
That's right.
And Mike's up to 7 right now.
7, yes.
7 miles is his long run, which is fantastic. We're going to work his mileage up into the 30s and then the 40s and ultimately get him close to 50 miles a week by the time it's all said and done. Mike's never done a marathon before, so he's going to do it for a cause, it sounds like.
That's right.
We'll have more information as we get rolling with this, but it's exciting, kind of a man on the street, although you are fitter than the average man on the street coming into this, Mike, but this is still a kind of a way out experience. You did the 10 miler last year and you thought you died and gone to heaven. That was really great experience. And wow, 10 miles, it's a big deal.
More than double. So 1.5
more than
times.
Double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, no, but it kind of hit me yesterday. I was doing a longer run and it kind of hit me in the head like, wow, this is really happening.
And it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It floated in my mind as I was thinking of amongst other things.
We wrote a little program. Mike and I sat down together, and Mike's got a program now to hold him a little more accountable. I think that probably right off the bat starts to make him feel a little more responsible.
Definitely
and
helps.
Less apt to say, well, you know, I'll do this week, or well, I maybe don't. I'll skip this here or there. You got a program, and you look at the whole program, and you see what's coming down the road, and you realize I have got to stay sticking with this because, you know, it's important to get those 20 milers in where you can't get to 20. From where you've been at, which is 4 or 5 for your long run recently, gradually building.
And now I put them in my planner, you know, Wednesday, 6 miles.
Good.
Or whatever it might be.
Good, Mike. So we'll be keeping everyone abreast of this
Absolutely.
As you come along. It'll be fun. Mike's going to do a little bit of it on the air, hopefully, through the station.
That's right.
Here with maybe Brad or with Les or with Jay or maybe even go over those crazies at 3WV. Max and those guys. I mean, Max is hip to this stuff. Max has turned himself around.
Yeah.
He was a chain smoker and, you know,
healthier
really heading down a bad path a few years ago. I used to give him so much grief. I would see him outside when I would drive up here to the station with some of the others out there puffing away. And I used to, he'd come in with his wife. She'd come in to get shoes. And I'm like, you know, Max, you got to do something about this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm the reason, but he's really, you know, at a lack of a better term, cleaned it up. And,
that's great.
You know, he's a healthier guy. And his wife, we talked the other day, did fantastic in this first half marathon. And
very cool.
It's good. He's you know, they're not getting any older.
That's
they're looking
nice.
Good, the two of them. So maybe you can get – we got a lot of folks at this station that are engaged in the sport that I think they would back you on this,
we
Mike,
do.
All the way. So
yeah. No, I'm excited. I can't wait to tell people more about it, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, good. All right, everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon, maybe next week, maybe not, but in the meantime, stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.